Welcome to Reactive's Tech Brief Podcast. My name is Julia Tarr, your technology reporter. This week we look at the Letta report together with Andrea Aranda, Senior Research Fellow and Head of SEPS Unit on Global Governance, Regulation, Innovation and the Digital Economy. Enrico Letta, a former Italian Prime Minister whom European leaders asked to write a report on the state of the EU single market, published his findings and addressed European leaders last week. For an overview on all things technology in the EU, sign up to our free newsletter or visit the website Euractiv.com. This is Euractiv's Tech Brief Podcast.
This episode is powered by Google. Debating Europe and Google have joined forces to raise citizens' voices from seven EU member states to the EU level, opening up the debate on the European elections 2024. Our goal is to bring forward a diversity of citizens' voices so that the expectations and concerns are represented in the next EU mandate. For more information, visit debatingeurope.eu.
Hi, Andrea. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. First, let me just ask, like, simply, what is the Letta report and why is it important?
Well, the Letta report is an independent report that was commissioned by the Belgian presidency of the EU to Enrico Letta on the future of the single market. So it is a report that is meant to feed the agenda of the presidency of the EU, but also going forward, the agenda of the next mandate, let's say the next legislature, so the next European Commission in particular, but also the next European Parliament and the work of the Council. It is important also because it is commissioned to former Prime Minister, that is also the president of the Institut Jacques Delors. And so it is important because it is entrusted to a person that really embodies the spirit of the original single market program that Jacques Delors launched in 1985, and that was supposed to complete the single market by 1992.
What do you think the most relevant parts of the report are when it comes to technology?
Letta identifies some leftovers of the first generation of the single market, and among them, there are many network industries. Among them, there is telecoms. And the idea that the telecommunications sector is one of those sectors where we have initially refrained from trying to integrate the single market across national borders. We have rather liberalized the market within national borders. And so we have created competition within national borders, but inevitably also fragmented the single market. And so today we have over, and I would say well over 100 telecom operators in Europe, but we don't have the benefits that a fully scaled up set of operators, perhaps a lower number, not as low as in the US, but lower than 100 would bring to European consumers in terms of ability to invest, ability to bring connectivity everywhere, and so on and so forth. So that's one important thing. The second thing is more related to technological innovation in general. Letta identifies a so-called fifth freedom, which is related to the creation of an environment in which creativity and innovation, in particular technological innovation, are facilitated, are supported also with the help of capital markets, even all the way to proposing a sort of NASDAQ for the EU to facilitate the emerging of deep tech ventures and so on and so forth. So that is, I think, one of the key contributions of the Letta report, which has to be translated and unpacked, if you wish, into more concrete policy measures to make this happen and requires a very complicated policy mix. And this is the reason also why Letta proposes that this fifth freedom be attributed to a sort of a vice president or someone with a more cross-cutting competence across the European Commission, because it really touches upon research and innovation, the current mandate of DG Connect, DG Grow, and it refers to very broadly, to some extent, almost vaguely, to a context in which Europeans are surrounded by an environment that supports and cherishes creativity and innovation.
Let's break down some tech topics of the report even more. You already mentioned telecoms. Letta argued that the EU's telecommunications sector is among the primary reasons for Europe's declining competitiveness. What do you think about this?
Well, I think we made specific decisions. So we were somehow forced to take these decisions back in the late 90s, early 2000s, from the open network provisions in telecoms to the electronic communications framework in 2002, to look within national borders. We were not forced to do so, but it's also true that the political consensus was not really considering the pan-European market as the relevant market for telecommunication operators. That is, I think, the original sin that Letta identifies in his report. And there is also, at the same time, the recipe that he proposes. We need to start considering the relevant, the geographic market. It is the expression we would use in competition policy, right? The relevant geographic market for telecommunication operators as the European market and not the national market. And this would lead us to considering policy approaches and remedies for cases of lack of competition that are completely different and would lead to a much more consolidated telecom sector at the EU level. But this is not the only thing that we did, and the report doesn't venture entirely into a number of other issues. But it's true that we created a policy and a business environment for telecom operators in Europe that really did not reward investment, even if investment was one of the objectives of the 2002 electronic communications framework. I'll give you one example. I remember in 2009, the European Commission, in one of the iterations in sort of the revisions of the 2002 electronic communications framework, published a slide, which in my opinion was quite shocking. It was the projection of how much internet traffic would increase, or was estimated to increase, was expected to increase in the following 5 years in the US, in Asia, and in Europe, and accompanied by another projection, which would be how the revenues of telecom operators would evolve in the same time frame. Well, basically what we saw there, imagine a plus 45%, 40 to 45% increase in internet traffic in the three areas, an increase of 30 to 35% of the revenues of telecom operators in the US, 25 to 30% in China, minus 20% in the EU. This is basically what we've seen also because of the different rules that we've had on net neutrality, all the debate that we've had on so-called over-the-top players, and all the ancestors of what today would be the fair share debate, if you want, which Letta doesn't fully take sides on, but it certainly hints at the need to find a solution to create more incentives, not only in terms of scale, but also in terms of the business and the policy environment for telecom operators to deploy the infrastructure that will back the technologies of the future. And that is super important because without that backbone of technologies, you can forget about AI, the Internet of Things, edge computing, the future of cloud or the European Federated Cloud, and all the other fancy stuff that we've been talking about in the past few years.
You mentioned that there are some issues that were not mentioned in the report regarding telecoms. What do you think is missing?
They're not really missing. They're like details of the historical reconstruction and analysis of how we ended up in a situation in which we have a clear infrastructure gap. Clearly, the US has made other mistakes, right? For example, it has let the market concentrate too much. And at some point, they had to put their hands on the evident lack of competition in most zip codes of the United States. Here in Europe, we had a lot more pluralism, in the positive sense, fragmented market. But at the same time, we had no investment. So to me, it's just adding some of the reasons that, for lack of space, perhaps, were not entirely mentioned in the Letta report. There is also mention of the need to coordinate more the allocation of spectrum and also the timing of the allocation of spectrum in the Letta report. And I think this is also an issue that has been raised and discussed for many, many, many years. So is not really new. But this doesn't mean Letta is wrong in raising it. I think we need to have much more courage and strengthen our telecom sector, because otherwise it will be dwarfed and really put in a subordinate position by the tech giants that run on top of it.
Letta also recommended creating an EU stock exchange tailored for deep tech startups. What's your take on this?
This is also not an entirely new proposal. This is part of another chapter of the Letta report, the one in which Letta analyzes the situation in financial markets and how conducive they are, how supportive they are of new ventures, the evident gap that we have in terms of venture capital and dedicated investment in new technologies, risk-taking, if you wish, on the side of financial markets in the EU with respect to the US and also to some extent other parts of the world. And so among the many proposals, he tables the creation of a dedicated stock exchange for deep tech, if you wish. And that is, in my opinion, an interesting proposal. But the implementation of that proposal is left to the imagination of the readers, right? And like many proposals in the letter report, which is not a criticism, because in 147 pages, you have hundreds of proposals. But the role of the policy analysts and the role of the think tanks, the academics, and the policymakers inside the EU institutions will now be that of try to translate into practical advice and insights how to make to bring these proposals to life. And in the case of the NASDAQ for deep tech, there will be a degree of institution building, but also a very complicated exercise in understanding what kind of innovation and what kind of innovative ventures to host on that platform, what kind of integration with similar platforms in other countries, in other regions of the world, what kind of interplay between this dedicated stock exchange and the very, you know, still relatively fragmented landscape for stock exchanges in Europe. So it's not that we have Wall Street only in Europe, right? A single Wall Street. So having a single NASDAQ is not going to be easy either, right? So there are many things that need to be unpacked before we can make this happen. But this doesn't scare me, and it should, and doesn't scare Letta. And I think it's a proposal that can bring us into a healthy debate, or at least a more courageous one, rather than simply imagining that we can do more of the same in the coming years.
The former Italian Prime Minister also said in the report that the EU space market should be integrated because the European space industry is no longer adequate to compete in the current global space economy. Can you tell us more about this?
Well, space today means many things. Space also means defense. Space means strategic autonomy. Space means satellite services and information. It means many things. The EU obviously has a much less glorious legacy than the US and other parts of the world, including Russia, of course, in space activities. But it has a flourishing space market, in particular in some parts of the market, for example, the launchers market. And it has an institution, the European Space Agency, which is modeled on the CERN. And at the same, and it works very well for the things it does, but was never really fully recognized and institutionalized at the EU level because of the resistance of member states. It is inevitable as the EU economy shrinks, a situation in which the EU has a growing need for defense, security, and strategic autonomy. The EU cannot really afford keeping its space market fragmented. And so we need to reach the minimum scale that is needed to really remain a competitive player and even elicit the flourishing and the blossoming of a private sector that you see this in the United States with Virgin Galactic and SpaceX, among others, a private sector that increasingly offers alternatives or even complementary innovation solutions to the work of the traditional public sector ventures in defense. Here, of course, the key problem is convincing countries like France that they should sort of give up some of their sovereignty in defense and embark into a pan-European project. It's even more difficult the more the EU enlarges, because, of course, the level of control you have from a single member state on how this scales up at the pan-European level becomes much weaker. And so it's not going to be easy, but I think it's necessary. And so what Letta says is a call for action in the sense of proposing new initiatives and trying to generate a sense of urgency among policymakers as to the absolute inevitability, unavoidability of pan-European solutions in a world that is becoming increasingly hostile and increasingly big with respect to the European economy.
Are there any tech issues that you think are missing from the report?
There is something that, in my opinion, is missing in the report, and this is artificial intelligence and new technologies to some extent, such as quantum computing, meaning projecting the single market a little bit more into the future. I would add the interplay between artificial intelligence and blockchain technologies as well, something on which even the European Commission, for example, DigiGrow, has been working a lot on blockchain and AI. And of course, DigiConnect and other DGs are working, for example, DG Research and Innovation and the European Commission have been very active on AI and from many respects. I do believe that artificial intelligence is essential for the future of the single market in creating a single market in which the relationship between citizens and administrations are streamlined, in which value chains are smoothly functioning as possible, in which several services benefit from predictive analytics and advanced AI-enabled services, in which humans work with complementary skills to artificial intelligence, and so on and so forth. In the letter report, there is limited mention of this. There is a mention of artificial intelligence only, if I am not wrong, in the final section on, if you wish, better regulation and implementation enforcement. So more on the governance side of the EU. I do believe that the pervasive impact of artificial intelligence and the Internet of Things, among other things, on our economy would have deserved a more diffuse treatment in the letter report. But it's already 147 pages. Perhaps it could have been 150 with three good pages on AI. But other than this, I think it's a very comprehensive report.
Another report by the former president of the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi, is anticipated to come out at the end of June. What are your expectations about that, and how will it differ from Letta's report?
The Draghi report will depart a little bit from the approach that Letta has taken. It has the advantage of coming up and out later, of course, so it will certainly take the Letta report into account. It will not necessarily pay tribute or respect to the Letta report. That's the first consideration. Also, because if you consider that Draghi has started unveiling the content of his report basically the day before Letta would present his report to the Council, which I think was not a very, very good timing, you might start to feel that there might be a degree of independence, let's say, between the two reports. There might be an attempt to smoothen inconsistencies just because one report is already out. So the team that assists Mario Draghi will be able to take this into account. Of course, he has a different personality compared to Letta and has a different approach compared to Enrico Letta. He has not toured Europe to be in listening mode and listening to stakeholders. He has not organized 400 meetings in 65 cities. He has largely remained confined in the Berlaymont building and with a limited team assisting him. And he certainly is not as progressive as Letta is in his political view, right? He is a former central banker that has potentially a business-oriented view and a competitiveness-oriented view of the economy. We don't know how comprehensive his definition of competitiveness will be, how open to sustainability, for example, dimensions, or whether it will be really a sort of cost-oriented type of competitiveness, so really improving the business environment. I expect two things, some differences in the sense that attention to social and environmental impacts would be perhaps less evident in the Draghi report than what we see in the Letta report. But second, Draghi has a reputation to defend and the expectations are sky high. He has done whatever he could to even enhance the expectations by announcing radical changes. So I would expect from the Draghi report an even stronger push for centralizing competences in a number of policy domains in the hands of EU institutions, and also raising own resources, so continuing the experience of Next Generation EU into the coming years by collecting own resources to be devoted to the twin transition. Draghi already voiced, and also Commissioner Gentiloni have been talking about potentially 500 billion euros that could be on a yearly basis devoted to the twin transition. I think this would not be enough. And also we are facing a political moment in which those resources will be up for grabs also for Ukraine reconstruction and for the defense industrial plan. And so I think the EU really needs to have a conversation about how much can be put in this common pot that would be a sort of a follow-up of Next Generation EU, how to spend it properly, and on what? And I think I would expect the Draghi report to give an indication on this that is as clear as possible. And the report also has a final difference that I can highlight, which is contrary to the Letta report, this is not a report for a presidency of the Council. This is a report for Ursula von der Leyen. So it will be delivered to Ursula von der Leyen in late June, early July, as far as I know. Then we don't know if Ursula von der Leyen will actually eventually be the candidate chosen for a second mandate as president of the European Commission or not. And so the relevance of the Draghi report might go beyond Ursula von der Leyen, but the level of impact of this report might also depend on who the next president of the European Commission will be.
That's all we got time for this week. Thank you very much, Andrea, for joining me. Don't forget to sign up to a free Tech Brief newsletter to stay on top of tech news and digital policy developments in the EU and beyond. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast published on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Amazon Music. I am Julia Tarr. Thank you for listening.